Africans, please listen to me as Africans. And you non-Africans, listen to me with open mind. Suffer, 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 suffer for world. Now your fault be that. Me I say, now your fault be that. Suffer, 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 suffer for world. Now your fault be that. Me I say, now your fault be that.
Uhuru. And welcome to Solidarity Not Charity, the show of the African People's Solidarity Committee here on UhuruRadio.com every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We thank the African People's Socialist Party for allowing us to have this program every Sunday on UhuruRadio.com. Solidarity Not Charity is produced by the African People's Solidarity Committee working under the leadership of the African People's Socialist Party, which heads up the Uhuru movement. The African People's Solidarity Committee organizes in white communities building solidarity for the movement for the liberation of Africa and African people inside this country and around the world. Uhuru, my name is Harris Daniels. I'm a member of the African People's Solidarity Committee in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where we're broadcasting the show from this week. And this week we will be talking about the conditions of African people, the historic oppression of African people in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, a really incredibly hostile city towards African and other oppressed communities. And this is clear to anyone who's studied history, seeing that the slave trade did in fact exist in Philadelphia, that the founding fathers, like George Washington, held slaves in the first White House here in Philadelphia. And through the turbulent 60s, the Black Power Revolution of the 60s, the resistance has always been, the resistance has always historically been strong from the African community against their oppression and against these historically oppressed conditions. But the 60s saw the Black Power movement, the Black Panther Party for self-defense in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and a huge counterinsurgency attack on the African community and on these organizations by leaders of the counterinsurgency, such as Frank Rizzo of the first the Philadelphia police and then the mayor of Philadelphia, but all the way through the 80s with the neocolonial mayoral campaign of Wilson Good, an African who was serving white power, who actually ordered the bomb to be dropped on the Move House in 1985, and said he would do it again. That this is the kind of conditions that the African community has faced in Philadelphia. And we still see it today under the mayor, Michael Nutter, because today the conditions, some would say, are even worse, because Africans in Philadelphia are catching hell still. 50% of black men in Philadelphia are unemployed. The mayor just announced huge budget cuts, closing libraries mainly in, or exclusively in, African communities. And the Philadelphia police this past year, with the election of Michael Nutter, have been attacking the black community through the Stop and Frisk program. And this program is one that is particularly hostile because it targets 9 enforcement zones, which are, of course, the African impoverished community. And Africans stopped by Stop and Frisk are subject to arrests, beatings, or even murder by the police, which has happened this year. We've seen 4 African men murdered just since August of 2008. In August, it was Sharif Lee Jones. September, Daniil Giddings. October, Michael Butchie Johnson here in West Philadelphia, where our Uhuru Solidarity Center is located. And in November, Lamont Norman in North Philadelphia. And the police are just as repressive as they were in the past. And the resistance is building in the African community in Philadelphia with the rise of the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement. And we have a chance to support this in the white community by being a part of the Uhuru Solidarity Movement. We'll get to more about that. We do have a main presentation to play today by Chairwoman Penny Hess of the African People's Solidarity Committee, who came to Philadelphia on a tour with Diop Olugbala, the international organizer for the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement, in October 2008, just last month. And on Sunday, October 26th, spoke at the Uhuru Solidarity Center in West Philadelphia on at a community speakout on police murder and police violence towards the African community and how the African community can stand up by being a part of the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement, and how white people can get involved by being a part of the Uhuru Solidarity Movement. So we'll hear the presentation by Chairwoman Penny Hess. And if you need to run out and you're not going to be around a computer, I just want to remind listeners that you can listen by phone in the United States by calling 515-489-1670 or 425-905-1825. Or if you're in the UK, dial 0870-068-4407 or 020-3051-7985 if you're in London, UK. In Azania, in what's occupied Azania, South Africa, in Cape Town, call 21-673-6887 or in Johannesburg, in occupied Azania or South Africa, 11-287-2287. So what we're going to hear today on the show, and we will break for announcements and also have the opportunity, if you want to put a comment on the air through email, you can email dj@uhururadio.com. We won't be accepting live calls today, but you can email in any comments you want to get on the air after the presentation is finished. A presentation, again, by Penny Hess, Chairwoman of the African People's Solidarity Committee in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, from October 26th. At the Community Speak Out Against Police Violence. And this is introduced by Allison Haney, who is the chair of the African People's Solidarity Committee here in Philadelphia, really leading the organization to link up white people with the Uhuru movement, with the struggle for African liberation throughout the world and in the cities of the U.S., where there's a domestic colony and colonialism and terror waged on the African community and how we can get to be a part of it in the white community. So here is the presentation, and we will break in the middle for some announcements. This is on Solidarity Not Charity, uhururadio.com. Uhuru.
Uhuru.
Uhuru. Uhuru means freedom, African freedom. Uhuru. I'm very proud to be a member of the African People's Solidarity Committee and the Uhuru Solidarity Movement, which works under the leadership of the African-led Uhuru Movement. And we want to welcome everybody here today to the Uhuru Solidarity Center here in Philadelphia. We wanted to, felt like it was really urgent to have this community speak out for justice and reparations for African people, and to call for this cessation, to stop the police murder and violence against the African community here in Philadelphia. Yeah. And to take a stand from the white community in particular against the way that the African community is not only under attack and under siege in this city, but is also criminalized by the media, by the whole white population in general, and to say that there's got to be a stand and a movement and a call from the white community to say we do not unite with that, we don't agree with that, African people are not the criminals, the real criminals in this city go free every day while African people are being locked up. So this is an important forum, and I really appreciate everybody coming here this afternoon. I want to welcome our guest speakers. We have some excellent presenters and speakers here. We're going to really expose the truth about what is going on in this city and in this country and in this world today. We have Diop Olugbala as a very honored guest here today, the international organizer for the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement and a leading member of the African People's Socialist Party that leads the Uhuru Movement and founded it and leads it today all over the world. And so, you know, we're going to be hearing from Diop Olugbala on the whole campaign and work to build the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement here in Philadelphia. And we also are very honored to have Penny Hess, who is the national chairwoman of the African People's Solidarity Committee, who has worked tirelessly to build a stance and an organization and a movement in the white community for solidarity with African liberation for over 30 years. So we're going to move forward with our program. Just by way of introduction, I wanted to say, you know, as a member of the white community here in Philly, that, you know, we have to understand, first of all, that there is a war going on right here. I know in the white community, all the time, we're trying to give people this understanding, because there's oblivion right now to the real conditions that African people are facing here. And there's really not even a stand from the white population about the U.S. war against the people of Iraq or against the people of Afghanistan, but there's certainly not a stand against the war that's going on right in our city. So that's what the work is that we're attempting to do, and that's what this Speak Out was geared to do, was really to, we did a lot of work in the white community to let people know we want to hear the truth from the African community themselves. We don't hear it from anywhere else. We certainly don't hear it from, you know, the Inquirer or the Daily News or NPR or Channel 10 or any of them. You know, there's only the blatant criminalization of African people. So, you know, we want to hear the other side. We want to hear the truth. We want to open ourselves up to know that there is a completely different situation that African people experience in this city. And, you know, that we see, you know, in the Uhuru Solidarity Movement launched a campaign about a year ago in Philly calling for 10,000 people to stand up against stop and frisk. And that was because the city of Philadelphia and Michael Nutter, who was the incoming mayor, declared a crime state of emergency against the black community. And what we saw was an intensification of the attacks on the black community like we've never seen before. I mean, I had never seen before. Suddenly there was a crime state of emergency. Nutter declared 9 districts in Philadelphia, and of course they were all African districts, you know, war zones basically, saying that they could call an emergency anytime, they could, you know, do anything that they wanted in those areas. They were going to implement massive stop and frisk policies. And what we've seen since that time was, you know, over 500 young Africans every single day in this city, from their own statistics, are being stopped any time by the police, pulled over, and you see so many of those young Africans being killed and shot by the police. This is what they're saying. This is what is happening. And we have to say from the white community that as long as there's a situation where African people are just quietly being herded into the prisons, because Philly has the highest imprisonment rate in the world for population per capita, because it has the highest in the U.S., and the U.S. has way the highest in the world. So that means more young African people are going to prison from Philadelphia, feeding the prison economy, feeding the prison system in Pennsylvania, than anywhere in the world. But we don't say anything about that, because it's giving us an economy. And, you know, giving us jobs as prison guards, feeding the whole white economy. And, you know, what we see is that as long as African families, you know, I mean, white families and white corporations and white students are moving into African communities, like here in West Philly, pushing African people out further and further and further. You see all these white people way up into the 50s now, 52nd Street, Malcolm X Park. White people are taking it all over now. You see that in South Philly to create the so-called Avenue of the Arts, pushing whole black communities out. This is what we're saying. And in North Philly, you know, to create the temple colony in North Philly, you know, these are the things that we're seeing, but there's nothing said about it because it's bringing resources, it's bringing, you know, white people wealth, and you can get a $300,000 condominium where, you know, is cool by the river now, by Fairmount Park, etc. So this is the reality that we want to talk about today, because what we see is the growing resistance of African people in the city, and that's really why not a call to crime state of emergency. Because it wasn't just Africans getting killed anymore. Suddenly there was a white cop getting killed. This was about a year ago, remember that? When the first cop in that wave of things happening was killed. Suddenly emergency, big crisis. You know, and white cafes in Rittenhouse Square, there was shots being fired. People were all like, we can't just sit in our cafes and enjoy our white life in Center City anymore without the situation coming right down here. So that's why they called an emergency, a state of emergency. But what we want to say is the real emergency is that African people are under attack in this city, and we have to understand that and stand up against that. That, you know, when you see 45% of African students not graduating from school because they're, you know, hostile, anti-black schools that have no intention to educate African people, but just criminalize African people. You know, when you see the intense poverty created by no jobs, no economy, 50% of black men unemployed, that's the state of emergency that we have to take, you know, a stand about and build an organization and a movement in the white community, in particular in solidarity with the Uhuru movement, which is clearly organizing resistance and strong organizational response from the African community. So these are some of the things that we want to talk about today and mobilize all of us and to go down after this event here to have a protest at the World Series. Hopefully we want to do that because the Uhuru movement in St. Petersburg, Florida, for one thing, just held powerful demonstrations and protests at the World Series in Tampa, in St. Petersburg, at the Tropicana fields, because in, you know, demanding justice and reparations for Javon Dawson and other young African men who've been killed by the police there. It's the same war, obviously, that is going on there. And so it would be powerful to have take the demands that this movement is raising up here for justice and reparations for the African community and for the victims of police murder here to confront, you know, the city and put that in front of the people here. So with that, I just want to introduce our first presenter, who is Penny Hess. And Penny's going to make a presentation, you know, that in particular addresses how, you know, this system is founded and based on the oppression of African people and feeds into, you know, white people having wealth and democracy and what we need to do to transform that situation. So I want to really welcome Penny Hess. There we go.
Uhuru.
Uhuru.
I want to thank Ali for that excellent presentation and unite with what she said. I just want to say, I want to reiterate that Ali, myself, and a lot of the other white people in this room are members of the Uhuru Solidarity Movement and the African People Solidarity Committee. We have been organized under the leadership of the African People Socialist Party that leads the Uhuru Movement. And our job is to work in the white communities. Once from the Uhuru Movement, we can begin to see the truth, the reality, then we've got to talk to other white people. We have a responsibility in this. And I, you know, and the only thing that I don't agree with that Ali said is that other white people are oblivious. No, other white people have an ignorance of convenience. It is so easy for us to sit on our own lives as long as our children aren't being shot down by the police, as long as our kids aren't being railroaded into the concentration camps that are called prisons. You know, as long as we have a job and we can live in quiet, tree-lined streets, and everything's okay for us, it's easy to be ignorant about what's going on so that we can live our lives. But the thing that we understand from the Uhuru movement, from the leadership of this organization that is working to unite African people here and around the world to regain Africa as their birthright, the thing that we can understand, the only reason that we have that is because this system was built on the enslavement of African people. For 500 years, African people, a whole continent of human beings, was the biggest commodity on the planet Earth. It created the wealth that the U.S. and Europe live on today. And because this whole country is on land stolen from the indigenous people. So, you know, this isn't going to last forever. This imperialism is in a huge crisis. This economy is going down the tubes. And what we have to say to other white people is we've got to open our eyes. We have to look at the truth, because here the African community is telling us what the truth is. They're not going to take it. They're not going to continue to live in these conditions forced on them for our benefit. The people in Iraq are telling us the same thing, to get the U.S. out of their land, killing their children and taking their resources. The Palestinians, the Venezuelans, people around the world are saying, enough, we're glad to see the U.S. going down the tubes, we applaud the day, and if we want to be part of a future, then we have to get on the side of the people on the planet Earth and not be upholding this vicious system that's based on suffering and death for everybody else. So when a lot of times, you know, our work is to talk to other white people, talk to other North Americans, as we say. And a lot of times we put together a slideshow because it's really important to see the pictures, to see it. So, you know, we have to be confronted with what we are responsible for. And I say that in terms of our whole history. It doesn't mean that we ourselves thought of this and commit violent acts, but we live at the expense of it. And so as long as we don't do anything, we're complicit with it. So we say that, you know, we have to look at this question of violence. We have to look at, where is the violence? A lot of people in the white community tell us, I'm against violence. Well, okay, I just want people to know that every day when they put their shoes on, that came from violence from somebody who worked for 2 cents an hour, you know, to make the shoes that we can have. And that African children are being sent to prison or getting killed so our kids can go to college.
Right.
You know, this is violence. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times what white people are saying is, no, they're against violence when we're talking about the resistance. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about the resistance, they're like, I'm scared. Well, we have to look at the fact that all human beings have a right to resist oppression, and that the understandings in this slideshow come from Chairman Amalia Shetela, who is the leader of the African People's Socialist Party and the Uhuru Movement, and his theory is called African Internationalism. And I am not an expert on history or anything else, but I am able to be an African internationalist due to his leadership and the leadership of the party. So the thing that we want to say is that police violence against the African community is, one, it is a counterinsurgency. It is a war, just like the war the U.S. is waging against the people of Iraq. It makes billions of dollars to the U.S. economy. And I'm not going to talk as much today as I do in other presentations, but I want you to know that Wall Street makes billions of dollars for every bed that it fills in the prisons. And when the private prisons and the federal prisons and those products are traded on Wall Street, that is now, we just put, as American taxpayers, $700 billion or $850 billion into those people's pockets on Wall Street. But with every bed that is filled, the stocks of private prisons go up and up and up. So laws like three strikes, you're out, mandatory minimums, are ways of ensuring Wall Street bankers that prisons will always be a good investment for them. So it is not about crime, it is about money. And that the third thing is that all oppressed people have a right to resist And that, as Diop told us the other night in this presentation, African people resisted from day one and resist now. And we'll talk about that more a little bit. But I want to say, first of all, this thing called the state. The chairman, Omali Tshitela, tells us that the state is the police, the military, the courts. Yeah. And he says the state becomes necessary when the society is divided into those who have and those who don't. And therefore, the state is there to protect the wealth and the property of the people who have it from those who don't. And that is exactly what the police do, and the courts do, and the military does, and they terrorize those who are struggling for justice and liberation. In ancient Africa and in indigenous societies, there's no record of police and courts and the state. You didn't hear about in ancient Africa that people had to be protesting police violence. That was unheard of. In African languages, there wasn't even a word for injustice people have written, because there wasn't any injustice. It was, you know, it was a society that was for human beings, that was about life, that was about all of the people living together. But Europe went about making an entire continent of people into property, into something to be sold. We have to think about what that means. The terror it took for, talk about police, you know, it took constant war. It took going in and raiding homes and towns and villages and stealing children and men and women. And they talk about, you know, the Wall Street, the stock market got started in Amsterdam in 1602 based on the slave trade, the trade in African human beings. And today, when people look at the charts to see how is oil going up and down or is gold going up and down, well, back then they looked at the charts to see what the price of an African person was. That's how Wall Street got its start. So African people were forced to become Europe's most precious commodity. And it was, this is how capitalism was built. The Industrial Revolution was built on terror against the African people, the African continent. And this is why we say, whether you're rich or you're poor, all white people sit on the pedestal of the enslavement of African people and the genocide of the indigenous people. All of us. We're not all Rockefeller or Bill Gates or Henry Paulson. But we all have what we expect, you know, the courts. We expect the courts to serve us. We expect the police to help us. We expect that we have a right to go to college and get a job, and you know, and most of us do. And even that life that we take for granted, even if we're not rich, we live the highest standard of living of anybody in the entire planet. And that is because the resources that we take for granted are stolen from and come at the violence of everybody else. Now, based on the trade in African people, immigrants from Europe sought their fortunes coming to America to basically, you know, say, we'll get a job, we'll get rich in this country, but we will kill African people, we will kill the indigenous people. And, you know, people might not have said that in words, but that is what happened. And so everything that white people got came at the expense of African people. Jobs, you could get a job as a slave catcher. You know, that was part of the economy. White working people were overseers on the plantations, brutalizing African people. All throughout the cities of the North, here in Philadelphia, Boston, New York, there were urban white mobs. Here in Philly, read the history. Allie has a whole slideshow just on that. Down on South Street, I mean, 150 years ago, there were demonstrations of African people who had escaped from the plantations of the South, demonstrating, living in the community that is now the South Street area, and they were attacked by white mobs in 1880-something. A really well-known leader of the African community was assassinated, killed, just like Malcolm X. I mean, this is the history. It didn't just start today. This is, goes all the way back. How white people consolidated the wealth that we enjoy today by continually terrorizing the African community. This is a picture. In 1863, white mobs attacked and burnt down an African orphanage in New York. The genocide against the indigenous people was carried out by volunteer cavalry, not paid army. White people who volunteered to work for nothing except for food, to slaughter the indigenous people and throw them in mass graves. And this happened all over the country. Why would white people volunteer for that if they didn't, you know, recognize that they were going to be part of stealing the land? They're going to get some free land out west by you know, slaughtering the indigenous people.
Uhuru, you are listening to Solidarity Not Charity on uhururadio.com. We're just going to take a short break to announce some events coming up in the Uhuru Solidarity Movement in the United States. Right now, the Uhuru Solidarity Movement is in the Uhuru Pies campaign, and you can still get involved in Uhuru Pies. And if you are in St. Petersburg, Florida, or Oakland, California, you can get involved in the Pies Bakers Training. Contact the Uhuru Foods in Oakland, California at oakland@uhurufoods.org, 510-759-8154, or 510-851-4492. And this is baking and selling pies, delicious, really, really great recipes for the pies in the Bay Area of Oakland, California, to benefit the programs of the Uhuru Movement for social and economic justice for the black community. Also active in St. Petersburg, Florida, in the Tampa Bay area, you can get involved in Uhuru Foods and Uhuru Pies there by contacting stpete@uhurufoods.org. That's STPETE at uhurufoods.org. And they also do a breakfast booth at the Saturday Market. The next one will be next Saturday, December 6th, from 6:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can sign up to volunteer on our website at uhurusolidarity.org. And again, you can email stpete@uhurufoods.org. On the Uhuru Solidarity Movement front, we are having an event in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania on Saturday, December 6th, 2008, next Saturday at 7:30 p.m. at our Uhuru Solidarity Center at 3733 Lancaster Avenue. It's this Uhuru Solidarity Appreciation Night. We're putting forward the stance of solidarity with the right of African people to self-determination, with the Uhuru Movement, the African Liberation Movement, and really putting forward people who have volunteered and worked with us in the past year, but all are welcome to attend. And you can get more information about that by calling 215-387-0919 or emailing philly_office@apscuhuru.org. That's philly_office@apscuhuru.org. And also, there will be an Uhuru Solidarity Appreciation Night in Oakland, California. Same night, Saturday, December 6, 2008, from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Faith Presbyterian Church at 430 49th Street in Oakland, California, with presentations by Uhuru Movement leaders Amalia Chitello, who is the leader and the founder of the Uhuru Movement, and a presentation by Chairwoman Penny Hess of the African People's Solidarity Committee, who you're hearing on the show today. She will be live with Chairman Amalia Chitello, making presentations and really celebrating and presenting and celebrating on solidarity with the African freedom struggle. And that, again, will be Saturday, December 6th at 6 p.m. at the Faith Presbyterian Church, 430 49th Street in Oakland, California. We'll also include a dinner buffet and awards and music and a silent auction. And for more information, contact 510-625-1106 or oakoffice@apscuhuru.org. That's oak underscore O-F-F-I-C-E at apscuhuru.org. Also, there's an event the next night in Oakland, California, Sunday, December 7th, 4 p.m. at the Uhuru House, 7911 MacArthur in Oakland. That is an event with Chairman Omali Yeshitela. Yes, we can win freedom in our lifetime. And for more information, call 510-569-9620. And again, you can get information on all these events and more, and information about the African People's Solidarity Committee and Uhuru Solidarity Movement at our website at uhurusolidarity.org. And to remind listeners, if you are getting away from your computer, you want to hear the rest of the program today, you can call in the U.S. 515-489-1670 to listen to Uhuru Radio by phone. And if you have any comments you'd like to make at the end of the presentation, we'll read them. You can email dj@uhururadio.com. And again, this is Solidarity Not Charity on uhururadio.com, the show of the African People's Solidarity Committee. And we are going to get back to our presentation now from October 26th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This is Chairwoman Penny Hess of the African People's Solidarity Committee speaking on the historic terror by the Philadelphia City and Philadelphia Police against the African community and the resistance. Uhuru.
White people lynched, terrorized, murdered African people to keep them from jobs, from wealth, and from independent communities. White mobs attacked independent African towns every time that African communities started and consolidated their own wealth. They were burnt down and terrorized, like Tulsa, Oklahoma, Chicago, African community of 1919, Rosewood, Florida. These were prosperous areas that were destroyed by white people. And now that wealth is in the white community. So white people came over, they became cops. But here is an Irish cop from back in the day. What is he doing? He's helping a white lady across the street with her baby or whatever. Because white people, as a whole, we were the police that attacked the African community. The police didn't need to do that. They just helped white people, for the most part, then. So the white people were the Ku Klux Klan. That served as the kind of terror that the police carries out today. There was convict leasing after the system of slavery was over, where African people were rounded up by the millions and now leased out by the state in the southern states to former plantation owners, railroad companies, and phosphorus mines, and basically convict leasing, which, you know, the lifespan was about 7 years of an African person who just worked to death in it. It created so much wealth that it rebuilt the wealth of the South after the Civil War. There were the Jim Crow laws enforced by regular white people, white mobs who attacked African people, just regular white working people. White mobs in Chicago attacking African people in 1919. More, just violence against the African community. This is Wilmington, Delaware. A white mob burning down the house of an African and terrorizing them. The southern sheriffs carried out the violence. They had states' rights, so they did anything they want against the African community. And Chairman Omali Yeshitela says, in the U.S., imperialism was constructed off the enslavement of African people and the near decimation of the native population. The resources, wealth, and near-slave labor of the vast majority of the peoples of the world have been the basis for the development not only of the wealth of the ruling class, but of the entire North American society. Consequently, the basis for opportunism within the U.S. is very deep, and that means we just see our own self-interest. We just live on our own self-interest and don't give a damn what happens to anybody else as long as we continue to do that. But the civil rights movement of the 1950s rose up, and it really raised up the struggle of African people for rights, and that was a powerful movement in the 1950s and 60s that emerged into the Black Power movement, an urban movement that became really an anti-colonial movement, a movement for the liberation of African people here and around the world. But there was a government program called COINTELPRO that was a counterinsurgency program coordinated by the U.S. government that killed Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Fred Hampton, leaders of the Black Panther Party, and destroyed the movement consciously, just as they're trying to do in Iraq and other places. They did that here. They brought tanks into the streets. They had informants and agents and people who gunned down the leaders of the movement. The police in the 1960s, just like now, shooting down young African people. And enforcement is key to counterinsurgency, and it's a trillion, you know, so the police is like an industry. It makes a lot of money for the government, and it hires a lot of white people. And just like the drug economy, which I don't talk about that much in here, but the drug economy is worth $500 billion to $1 trillion a year, laundered through Wall Street banks. That's who the drug dealers are, these people who are getting bailed out with your money right now. And law enforcement is part of this whole thing to continue to oppress the African community. And about 1 million law enforcement jobs exist within the United States, with more than 18,000 federal, state, and local agencies. This is a picture of white mob attacking an African man just a few months ago in South Carolina. It's a CNN. This is chain gangs today. This is the conditions today. I don't know what state that is. It might be Florida. Florida has the chain gang. The brutality against the African community every day. We know what the police did to the African community of New Orleans. And that we have to realize that police containment is a policy. It involves all government agencies, politicians of both parties, Wall Street and financial institutions, corporations, business, media, and the white population. The white population that agrees, again, to vote in three strikes, you're out, mandatory minimums, and all of that. This is just the constant brutality. It's part of this program. It is not an exception. It is a plan. It is a policy. It is not a conspiracy. It is an open public policy that is carried out towards the African community. Here in Philadelphia, the burning, the bombing of the MOVE, and that neighborhood, that entire neighborhood, the beating of Delbert Africa in 1978, just incredible. That was, you know, that was an armed military action against a people, killing in the second attack at least 11 people. Most, I think at least half of them were children. Philadelphia police violence, this is police beating up Shabaka, who was a member of the Uhuru movement. Prisons, 2.3 million people in U.S. prisons, $150 billion a year growth industry, 500,000 workers work in the prison system at the expense of the African community. And where are most prisons? They're in white rural areas that take the place of farms and factories that have been shut down and outsourced to other countries. Now, the prisons are key to the rural economy in the United States for white people. That white America, again, lives on a pedestal of African oppression. So I just want to, you know, go through this really quickly. It is a human right to resist oppression. And as the Uhuru movement says, African people have always resisted from the first minute a white man stepped on African soil. Ya Asantewa, she led the resistance of the Ashanti people in Ghana, and the Ashanti fought the British for 200 years until they had to, you know, they were forced to cede their land. This is a picture of African resistance in Africa fighting the colonizers. Slave resistance, the resistance of African people on the ships and plantations was illegal. We have to remember that, because now you can look back in history and the history books might say, well, you know, Nat Turner was a great person and Harriet Tubman. But at the time, they were considered criminals by this government. You know, because in every period, the resistance is fought against by the system. So we have to remember that people who are resisting today are the courageous ones that are fighting for the liberation and freedom. African resistance on the ships. For a ship captain on a slave ship, being killed through a rebellion was something like the major cause of death. It really happened all the time. African people were fighting all the time. There's the Maroons who were in the Caribbean and in the United States as well. Africans who fought so fiercely that ultimately the English had to give them part of Jamaica in the hills. That's what Marcus Garvey and some of the people that we know today are descendants of the Maroons, and they fought incredibly. There was incredible resistance of African people in the Caribbean, all throughout the Caribbean. I don't know what happened to my picture of Nat Turner, but he was a fierce fighter who launched an amazing rebellion that killed a lot of plantation owners and their families and struck terror throughout, oh, here comes the picture, throughout the white community of the South. Gabriel Prosser, he led an armed insurrection in Virginia. And today there's like a plaque, you know, on the road somewhere where he did that by, you know, put up by the government. And it's fine for them to say that now. But when it's happening, you know, they fight it. African and indigenous resistance, the Seminole Wars, the African and Seminole, the indigenous people in Florida banded together and fought against the U.S. government. Andrew Jackson, who was a vicious slave master and murderer of indigenous people in a very brutal way. And the Seminole was actually the combination of African and indigenous people. And there's parts of Florida who the Seminole have never conceded land to. They never, the U.S. never won. And I think it's right there where that map is. African Revolution in Haiti, the first revolution, African Revolution in the entire world. The Africans defeated Napoleon's army. It was incredible. Harriet Tubman led the Underground Railroad at the threat of her life. Indigenous people, Geronimo, Crazy Horse, as they're known in English, that's not how they call their own names, fought brilliantly against U.S. invasion. Brazil, African people created a martial art called capoeira that they could just use with their feet if their hands were bound. And Zumbi was a courageous freedom fighter in Brazil, which there's an incredible story of what he did. African resistance everywhere, fighting back. Africans resisted white mobs in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Marcus Garvey built in the 1920s the most incredible organization in the entire world that's ever existed. He had 11 million members of African people here and around the world. The slogan was Africa for African people here at home and abroad. There were rebellions in Detroit in the 1940s, powerful rebellions. In Kenya, there was the Kenya Land and Freedom Army, known as the Mau Mau, that fought against British colonialism in a very powerful way. There was a civil rights movement in the U.S. in the 1960s and 1950s, the Black Power movement, the Black Panthers in Sacramento, and fighting for black power to the African community. In the 1960s, rebellions took over the entire United States, Newark in the 1960s, Newark and Watts and other places. Detroit Rebellion, 1960s, Attica Prison Rebellion took over the prison in 1972, a powerful act of resistance and move in Philadelphia. Los Angeles, Rodney King rebellions, St. Petersburg, Florida, which is the headquarters of the Uhuru movement, where there were powerful rebellions after Tyron Lewis was killed in 1996, 18-year-old motorist during a traffic stop by the police. He was shot with his hands up, and the whole community went up into a militant demonstration, and then 2 weeks later, when the grand jury ruled that the police were justified, and there was a huge community meeting at the Uhuru House, the police came outside that meeting, 300 strong, and put all of the tear gas of the city of St. Petersburg into that building. There were elderly people, children, all kinds of people in there. The community outside fought them off and shot down a military, or I guess a police helicopter. In the Niger Delta right now, in Nigeria, African people are fighting for control of the oil that Shell and Exxon are stealing, making something like $300 billion a year while the people are starving. And that the resistance is organized through the African Socialist International Organization is key. Just this past week in Sierra Leone, in Freetown, Sierra Leone, almost 1,000 people met from throughout Africa for the African Socialist International to say that Africa belongs to African people, not Shell, not the oil companies, not the diamonds, not De Beers, that all the resources belong to African people. And the African People's Socialist Party is continuing the tradition, the legacy of Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X, Kwame Nkrumah, and Patrice Lumumba. Africa's resources belong to African people. Touch one, touch all. And we stand in solidarity with the liberation of African people. And we see that as the only way that there's going to be peace on this planet Earth. Because as long as the United States system hoards the resources of everybody else, and their children are dying, and their people are dying, and they're living on 50 cents a day, there's never going to be peace on this planet. There's never going to be the ability of human beings to live together. I don't care what any presidential candidate says that they're going to do to withdraw troops from Iraq. There'll just be a war someplace else. That the only way is for African people to be free, to have their land, for indigenous people to have their land, the Arab people to have their land and control their resources. And for us as white people, if we want a future for our kids, then we have to stand in solidarity with that and be part of this world that is inevitable to come. Uhura.
Uhura.
Uhuru, you're listening to Solidarity Not Charity on uhururadio.com, and that was the presentation from October 26, 2008 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania by Chairwoman Penny Hess of the African People's Solidarity Committee. And what she's addressing is this full history that we have as a relationship between the white oppressor nation and the colonized peoples of the world, and about how that dynamic has been one of terror to maintain the resources in the hands of white power and in the hands of regular white people. And those resources have been stolen from the indigenous people and African people and other oppressed people throughout the world. And the resistance is being organized and has been organized and is meeting those conditions and is transforming those conditions. And the Uhuru movement, led by the African People's Socialist Party, is a major part of that resistance. As you heard, that the African Socialist International is really expanding and growing and holding a founding conference and regional conference in West Africa, and is moving forward and really, really building in a big way throughout the world. We have to support that from the white community. If we look honestly at the resources that we have, we can see that they're not ours. We're not indigenous to this land, and those resources didn't come from Europe. They come from Africa and Asia and the Americas, and they belong to the African people and the indigenous people. And we need to support the right of those African and indigenous people to reclaim those resources. And by reclaiming those resources and freeing themselves, all of these contradictions will be solved, because the reason for the prison system, the reason for the police attacks, and the reason for the massive impoverishment and unemployment and miseducation of African people in the United States and throughout the world is because they have no power. They have no control over their resources. They have no self-determination. And that's why the United States government and the European governments have been able to exploit the resources of Africa and have been able to attack African people. And I think that presentation sums it up really well, by going deep into history with the slave trade and the attack on Africa, bring it all the way to the present. And in the very, very real now, the present, we have a responsibility too from the white community to demand an end to the war on the African community. And one way we can do this is by participating in the call-in tomorrow, Monday, December 1st, to free Ajamu Bandele. You may have heard on the previous shows or seen in the Uhuru News email, but on Wednesday, October 19th, Comrade Ajamu Bandele, a.k.a. Orlando Gibson, who's the International Outreach Director of the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement, was kidnapped by the police in York, Pennsylvania, and charged with false charges. And we are waging a campaign, the Uhuru Movement is waging a campaign, and we can participate from the white community to call in, to write in, to participate in demanding his immediate release and that the detainer from his bond be lifted, because he is being kept from his community where he's organizing against this counterinsurgency. He's been exposing the drug economy as a war on the African community and exposing the police attacks on the African community, not only in York, Pennsylvania, but throughout the United States and throughout the world. And that's why this attack has been made on Ajamu and on our movement. And the state has denied him bail by putting a detainer on his bond, and it prevents him from returning to the community to continue his political work and care for his 7-year-old son. So we have to demand that. And you can get information on impedum.org. If you go to INPDUM.org, go to campaigns, go to Free Ajamu, you can find the information. There's scripts that you can use to write letters to send in or call in. Tomorrow is very important day to call in. On Tuesday is the hearing, the preliminary hearing. So we've got to call in to the parole board, the York County Courts, and the York County Courthouse. And all that information, information is on the impedum.org site, INPDUM.org. So that's a call out movement wide, and anybody who is listening to Solidarity Not Charity today to participate in this call in, because it really shows unity. You know, as our movement, the Uhuru Solidarity Movement, is working under the leadership of the African led Uhuru Movement, shows unity with the fight for self-determination that the Uhuru Movement is making to make this demand for justice for Ajamu Bandele. So we encourage everyone to call in tomorrow. Also, there's events coming up. Just want to reiterate that the Solidarity Appreciation Nights in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Oakland, California will be December 6th. And the Oakland one will be at 6 p.m. at the Faith Presbyterian Church at 430 49th Street in Oakland, California. And for more information, call 510-625-1106 or email oak_office at apscuhuru.org. For information on the Philadelphia Solidarity Appreciation Night, which is this Saturday, December 6th at 7:30 p.m. at the Uhuru Solidarity Center, 3733 Lancaster Avenue in West Philly. Call 215-387-0919 or email philly_office@apscuhuru.org. And for more information on events and the Uhuru Solidarity Movement, go to uhurusolidarity.org. And, of course, go to uhurunews.com for updates and news from the international voice of the International African Revolution. And, of course, tune in to uhururadio.com live starting at 8 a.m. Eastern Time next Sunday. And this is the end of the show today for Solidarity Not Charity, and it is also the end of the broadcast day for uhururadio.com. Uhuru.
Oh, oh, you Africans, please listen to me as Africans, and you non-Africans, listen to me with open mind.